This episode is brought to you by Set for Life Insurance. Listen, docs, one of the first steps we took to pay off our student loan debt was realizing we paid way too much for our disability insurance. That all changed when we found Set for Life Insurance. They helped us with a customized insurance policy that met our needs and, most of all, budget. To learn more, check out setforlifeinsurance.com.
All right, y'all, welcome to 2023. This is Docs Outside the Box. I am your host, Dr. Nee, and I'm joined by
Dr. Renee.
Is that a new song?
Yeah.
New song. Rhythm?
New rhythm.
New year, new rhythm?
New year, new rhythm.
New year, new Renee?
New year, new Renee.
New year, new
okay,
me.
You know what?
New it's year, all new Docs new. Outside the Box?
It's all new. Docs Outside the Box. Ah.
New year, same old Renee temper. Hey. Low key, yo, y'all don't know. Renee got a temper, y'all. Don't let her fool you.
I do not have a temper.
Don't let her fool you. Don't let them fool you, y'all.
Don't let them fool
you. But anyway, guys, welcome. We're excited to be talking to y'all. It's been a minute since we recorded a fresh new episode. I was sick literally like a couple of days after the New Year's for the Haitian Independence Day. I must have caught something from your house. I don't know
get
what
out of here.
The Haitian
Haitians
flu.
Didn't give you nothing.
The Haitian, whatever it was. It wasn't COVID, but
you
I was
the Haitian
out.
Flu.
I was out for a minute. And afterwards, I couldn't talk. I had a sore throat. And then afterwards, even more so, I start to get this cough, and you may hear me coughing on this show, but I get this cough that is really hard to control, and it literally makes for a really horrible editing experience. Probably Christian and Alfred are like, yeah, we know. A really hard editing experience or even a listening experience for the users or for the listeners, but I'm excited to be back, and we're busy. We're working.
Busy, busy.
I hope everybody is safe. Let's just get right into it. Like we are busy. Yesterday I was in Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
I can't part like if it's Southern Long Island. Either way, I was in Patchogue at Long Island County Hospital.
Yeah, I don't know if that's Suffolk or Nassau. It's Nassau.
Either way, it's far out Long Island, and I had to go there for an ATLS student refresher course. So basically, what that means is my membership or my what do you call that?
Membership or certification.
Yeah, my certification lapsed. And if it happens within 6 months, you can take a student refresher course, which is basically a half day course from 6 to 9. And you go there, they give you a quick refresher on any changes that happen in ATLS. You take a test, you do a physical, play out enactment, and then you be out. But since I'm in Jersey, driving out there during rush hour is no joke.
Forget it, man.
Yo, I typed in into Waze the address. And you know how sometimes Waze will take a long time thinking and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the longer...
you sure you want to do this?
The longer it takes, you're like, oh, shit, this is going to be a problem. And it literally said, like, a little bit under 3 hours.
I know. You wanted at first to leave, like, an hour and a half before. And I was like, you're not going to make it. Like, you must not know New York City traffic anymore.
And just so people know, like, the difference in mileage from where we live to where this place is like, 70 miles. That's it.
That's it.
3 hours. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And that doesn't include, like, so I took the Tesla because that's the business car and this is a business expense, y'all. And
locums.
It was 50% charge. And you put in the navigation into the computer of the car and it says, yo, you need to stop first.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean I need to stop first? And there's just all of these different things that you have to think about before you take this trip when you get an EV.
Mm-hmm.
I still love it. But
EV is electronic vehicle.
You know, I was just like, damn, like if Waze is saying 3 hours in a gas, power car, and this is saying that I need to charge for like an additional 15 minutes, otherwise I'm going to lose power and be on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually like a 3 hour and 20 minute drive.
Yep.
But long story short, I actually made it like 10 minutes late.
Okay.
And at that time, they weren't really... but
they
it was great.
They hadn't really started yet.
Yeah. But it was fine. It was just that, the Waze was kind of directing me all through different parts of Long Island to avoid traffic on the main parts of like 495 and all these different things. So I was like on like the shore. I forget where I was on like Atlantic Beach and I had to go over these bridges that don't take easy pass and I didn't have cash on me. And basically,
what happened at the bridge that doesn't take easy pass? You had cash?
I didn't have cash. So they were like, basically, like they like take your license plate and they give you a sticker and like, yeah, you owe us.
What?
And mail your bill here.
What is that, 1972?
Hey, I got the proof. It's in the car.
What?
So it's crazy.
So you got an IOU from a bridge.
Yes. Yes. But I kept the receipt, and I'm going to pay him back. I kept the receipts because, like I said, this is something that's necessary for me to maintain my certification so that I can continue to be Locums, which is my business. So everything related to this trip, I kept the receipts, and this will be a tax write-off. Right? Yeah. So from the mileage to charging the car to, you know, crossing the bridges, all of these things are all to the IOU. All of these things are all part of it. So low-key flex, guys, that's the reason why we like to maintain as Locums is, you know, there's a lot of things that personally we would be responsible for that now we can shift over into business expenses, and that can help decrease how much money the IRS can tax us on.
Right.
That's why we do that. So
exactly.
Just a little low-key thing. Yeah. And that's what we're about this year. We're about sharing more of our lifestyle, sharing how we are, you know, safely and legally shifting more of our personal money.
Legally.
Personal expenses into business expenses.
Yes. Right? So. Yeah. Absolutely.
But for this show, you know, it's really going to be mainly about talking about a medical student who put on Medium a couple of days ago that he is leaving medicine. He has dropped out of medical school for his reasons. But before we jump into that, let's read a textful from Jamar. Remember, that is the best way to get in contact with us. And what you do is you text us at 833-230-2860. And Jamar has been texting us for pretty much close to a year, but he's been listening for 4 years now. Mm-hmm. And he texted us on the episode where we went over our YouTube shorts, specifically about Dave Chappelle, versus Chris Rock.
Oh, did he? Is that what he wrote about?
So he wrote, "Hey, it's Jamar again. Happy New Year to you
hey,
both.
Hey, it's Jamar again."
You know, like it's bro man. Jamar, you're our version of bro man.
Bro man, Jamar's from the fifth floor.
Congratulations on making the roster as official co-host, Dr. Renee.
Thank you, Jamar.
Listening to the rundown of your top five and landed on Dave Chappelle versus Chris Rock. So he says, "I've seen both live.
Okay.
Chris Rock most recently in 2022. I definitely am a bigger Dave fan than Chris, but I will say Chris is more comedy, quote unquote, than Dave is in the last few years. Like y'all said, he definitely makes great points, but I do agree with some parts of your arguments. If you ever watched Dave from back before he left and shortly after he got back, you might feel better about that version. Hilarious. When I saw him live before, like 2018, he wasn't so much attempting to make points with his comedy versus making people laugh." Mm. Real quick, he got exactly what we're saying. Like, mm-hmm, it just seems like he's trying to... it seems like he's trying to pontificate more so than trying to make us laugh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. "Chris was kind of dry only because you knew what to expect from his content. Hmm. Dave feels more versatile to me and can dip in many different forms, like you said, Eddie could, delirious. Mm-hmm. But Chris was definitely funny. The comedy was more out front with him. Now that we discussed that, I urge you, if you have not already, watch Bill Burr's material ASAP. That man is hilarious. I really started listening to his material about 6 years ago after his time on Breaking Bad, and it was the best thing." I didn't know Bill Burr was on Breaking Bad.
He was? I'm looking it up right now. Bill Burr was on Breaking Bad?
Yeah, he has specials on Netflix.
Didn't he do a monologue on Saturday Night Live?
Yes.
I think I saw that monologue, yeah.
"Start with his earlier specials, but if you already know, then I can't imagine he didn't make y'all bust out laughing."
Oh, he was on Breaking Bad.
Yeah, he was one of the henchmen.
Yes, yes. Oh, gosh. Yeah, he was.
Wow. "Excited to see where..." Well, he said, "That's all. I have some questions coming up soon, but thought I'd pitch Bill Burr if y'all didn't already know about him. Excited to see where Renee takes the show." "The other guy is cool too, but everyone knew what was going to happen when she blessed the mic."
Booyah!
"Have
everybody,
a great one, y'all. Both of y'all are great."
Yeah.
Well, listen.
Yeah, Jamar. Yo, we need to get Jamar on the show.
Jamar, that's not going to happen with her taking over the show. But Jamar, I just want to say thank you very much for writing in. We really appreciate you taking the time to write us text. This is dope. Like, we will check out Bill Burr. I when I saw him on Saturday Night Live, that was the first time I really kind of just listened to his stand-up.
Yeah.
And I just find it, you know, I feel like him and Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle, they're kind of in the same what's the word I want to use? They're in the same
kind of level.
Well, I don't know level, but they're in the same class, so to speak. Okay. Like they all kind of do the same type of observational type of comedy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I really like it. So, Jamar, we're going to check it out. But listen, what we want to know from you is, Jamar, what part of training, if you still are in training, are you in? Are you in attending? Where you at? What specialty are you trying to go after? Or what specialty are you in? We're really interested to know that. And once again, we really appreciate you guys writing in. This was dope. And this is the way in which we like to interact with folks. So listen, just don't just text us you like something or don't like something, but give us a reason why.
Yeah, like Jamar did.
Yeah, Jamar.
Everybody do like Jamar, okay? Yeah,
you did a good job.
Teacher's pet.
You did a good job. If you ever want to come on the show. If you ever want to come on the show, come on the show, and we'll kind of hash these things out. I have not seen any of them live. I just have seen Dave Chappelle's Netflix
comedy
specials. And then obviously I've seen Chris Rock's specials since, you know, the late 1990s. And that's how I form my opinion. But if we get an opportunity, maybe we can see Chris Rock live and, you know, maybe Chappelle. If we get lucky, because, you know, I hear that Dave Chappelle's tickets are really expensive. So
you don't want to pay for that.
We got to figure out.
Locums can't pay for that.
We got to talk to our CPA and see if we can figure out how to make that a business expense or something like that. But
that is not going to. Well, it could happen with Docs Outside the Box. That could be a Docs Outside the Box business expense.
Yeah, we got to talk to
Eric.
Talk to CPA and see if they can figure it out, man.
If you're a mother and a doctor, then I got the conference that's built entirely to support you. It's called the M3 Conference, short for Medicine, Motherhood, and Me. This is a 3-day conference with topics including how to parent better, how to create quick and healthy meals for the family. There's even a hands-on cooking demo, even how to do mental health checks for mothers. On top of that, you can get 12 AMA Category 1 CME credits for attending also. So look, get ready to network, learn, and relax all at a luxurious resort at Lake Lanier in Georgia. We're talking April 28th to the 30th. Now, early registration is going through the month of January, but for listeners of this show, you know I got you. If you use the discount code DARKO, that's D-A-R-K-O, you will get an additional $100 off the rate. So listen, to learn more about the M3 conference, check out www.m3healthconference.com to learn more.
Oh, the other thing that we didn't do or that I didn't talk about is I made a big estimated tax payment yesterday.
Oh, really?
Also, I was not happy about that.
You didn't have enough tax write-offs.
It was multiples of Ks. Just leave it to you like that. Multiple stacks. Stacks on stacks on stacks.
Stacks on stacks.
And for the folks who are listening, like estimated tax payments, if you have a side hustle, if you do anything where it's considered side hustle money, if you are a, you know, if you get rental income, you have a duplex, something happens on the side, or just in general, someone is renting money from you and you're getting paid without taxes being withheld from that. That's most people who work in a business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then you have to do something that's called estimated tax payments. And usually you make these estimated tax payments 4 times a year, right? Each quarter, basically.
Right.
Sometime in January, another time in April, September, and then in January.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we do that is because in the United States, we have this system called a pay-as-you-go system, right? So basically the government or IRS doesn't want to get their payments in a large lump sum.
Right.
We know why, right? They want to be able to make sure that they have funds throughout the entire year. So they want you to pay a certain amount based off of how much income you're bringing in. They want you to bring in that amount or pay that amount on different quarters. Well, we didn't make those payments. So finally talking to the CPA and talking to Katie, our tax or our financial advisor, and she's like, did y'all make any tax payments? And I'm like, yo, how did we forget to do that? And long story short, we had to make a large payment. I was not happy, but you know, we had to go ahead and do it.
Yeah, we're not going to do that this year.
No, we're not going to go ahead and do that.
2023 is going to be different for our taxes.
And despite all of that though, guys, I still think that if you have a side hustle, if you are primarily just doing everything on your own, like in a business like we are, right? Like we practice fully 100%, but we practice as 1099, as locums doctors.
You practice more fully than I do.
Right? But either way, what I'm trying to say is, if you get, like, the question is, you know, should that scare you towards being employed and working in a W-2 job and versus just doing it on your own? Should that scare you away?
Right.
And, you know, whichever way you decide to do it, just know that you can get this done. Mm-hmm. Like, there are plenty of calculators that are out there that'll show you how to, you know, calculate your estimated tax payments based off of what you're bringing in off of your side income or your side hustle money. So I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes. But I just wanted to share that because I think that's what we need to do more about this, is more in the show, is just sharing, you know, some of the really positive things that are going on, but as well as some of the negative thing. Well, not even negative, but some of the more
challenging
things that we don't talk about on the show. And that was a challenging thing, paying stacks on stacks on stacks.
Stacks on stacks on stacks.
And estimated tax payments. And if you don't make those payments, they can levy a fee onto you.
Right.
And it could be a penalty, which is a percentage of whatever you owe. And, you know, who wants to pay the government more when you don't have to?
Right. So thank you, Jamar, for writing in. Oh, real quick, I just want to say that thank you for everybody who has been engaging with us on Instagram in particular. We've been getting a lot more comments on our posts. So we love comments. That's another way that you can reach us. Just, you know, write comments. You can slide in our DMs, but we're going to be a little slow to check them DMs.
Yeah, we busy. We got kids. I got operations. We got podcasts. So
yeah, the texting is definitely the best way to get in contact with us. And then I would say second is probably doing comments on IG. Then the third, I'm going to say the second is actually going to our website and sliding us a question there. Then the comments on Instagram, and then sliding into our DMs. But I just want to say thank you to everybody for, you know, all your comments and things like that. We just love it. Good, bad, or otherwise, we want to hear from you.
Yeah. So let's jump into this. As I said earlier, a medical student put on their Medium account, which we need to get.
We're going to be on Medium.
But basically, this medical student who is a third year medical student basically said that he is leaving medical school, right? He's leaving medicine. His name is Benias Isaias, if I got it right. Benias Isaias. He is an Ethiopian immigrant and looks like he's in his third year and decided to walk away from medicine. And he wrote in his Medium article, let me bring it up. It says, I withdrew from medical school today. This came out January 9th. We will leave this in the show notes. And he says, after much thought and contemplation, I made it official. This was not an easy decision for me, and it's something I've been struggling with for a while. I always thought that becoming a doctor was the best way for me to make a positive impact on the world. But being in love with the potential of something can be a dangerous trap. I want to say that again.
You talked about
being in love with the potential of something can be a dangerous trap. It can lead you to overlook red flags and ignore warning signs and stay when love isn't offered. While I've always been passionate about medicine and helping others, I have not been in the most nurturing environment. In 2022, I felt undervalued and uninspired. I also come to the understanding that the current medical system is designed to harm people. And he puts in parentheses, healthcare workers and students included, rather than truly help them. It prioritizes profits over patients and often fails to address the root cause of health issues. And as the pandemic raged, they wanted us to submit to a system that continues to wage violence against Black bodies. And they retaliate when you speak up. I'm not going to read so much more, but basically he gets to the bottom, but he says, if you're struggling with a similar decision, here are a few tips that helped me. He says, it's important to take time to really think about what you want out of life, what makes you happy and fulfilled, what are your values and goals? Another set of tips that he says is, mental health is a big issue in medical school. If you're considering suicide, please get the fuck out and save yourself. This profession isn't worth your life. You matter, and you'll still make a difference in other ways. So there's a lot of things that he talks about. I'm not going to read the whole thing for you. But you know, I want you guys to check out on the show notes. But one of the things that I grabbed from that is medicine doesn't teach us to heal. That's one of the things that he basically in essence is saying. And he feels like even though he wants to work in marginalized communities, even though he wants to work on social justice type issues, him participating in the system is basically him agreeing to be a part of this whole thing, whether or not you listening right now agree with this or not, this is what he thinks.
Yeah, because some people feel like, well, no, to change the system, you have to be a part of the system.
Right.
And other people feel like, no, in order to change the system, I can actually create a competing system.
And Dr. Renee says what? What do you think about this medical student leaving medicine, because let's be honest, mm-hmm. this Medium article, I went back and read more about him. He's been actually dropping hints that he might be able, mm-hmm. that he might be leaving.
Yeah, he said that in the article.
He has a 40 something minute video where he talks about the struggle mm-hmm. that he's going through with wanting to be a doctor, wanting to help marginalized societies. He came from Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they need help. Mm-hmm. So he's always wanted to be able to help folks in this fashion as a physician.
Right.
But I think he's starting to realize certain things, and these are the tidbits that he got from it, and this is the direction that he decided to move. To you, what does Dr. Renee say?
Well, I mean, I think at any point that someone feels that what they're doing doesn't align with their own personal values, then yeah, they might need to make that tough decision. It looks like that's what he did. You know, I think kudos to him, you know, especially as someone who helps students get into medical school. I really, really think it's very important for people, again, like he said, not to fall in love with the potential of something, but to actually fall in love with the thing that you're actually doing. And that means that it has to align not just with your goal, but actually with your values.
Man, that's really hard, though, if you've never experienced
it
before. Like, particularly if you come from families where you are not exposed to being a doctor
mm-hmm.
or, you know, whatever type of healthcare professional you're aspiring to be.
Mm-hmm.
The potential is intoxicating.
Yeah, the potential is intoxicating. But, you know, I can tell you, as someone who contemplated leaving residency, right, that at that point, you know, in my life, I felt like this is not working out for me. This is not what I envisioned it to be. I was not at all, you know, under any sort of, you know, threat to be dismissed or anything like that. I literally just voluntarily was like, yo, I'm out, you know. And part of the reason was because I felt very undervalued. I felt like not just me as, you know, as a resident being undervalued, but I looked around and my colleagues were being undervalued as well, right? Like, three of the people, including myself, in my first year class of six quit, okay? And they went to other residencies. I ended up staying, but they left. They left the profession, they left the specialty altogether. And went into different specialties, but they quit that program. So, it, you know, for me, it was like, no, I'm not making this up in my head. This is going on. And I think that's what he's saying. And other people are probably looking at him like, are you crazy? You know, why would you ever leave? This is not right. You took a spot, right? Because a lot of people, oh, you took a spot from the first year, blah, whatever. And it's like,
well, I'm sure people are saying either you took a spot or you can change more from the inside versus the outside, which I disagree with, right?
That's what people will say.
Oh, just for the record, everyone, I did reach out to Mr. Esaias, student Dr. Esaias. I reached out to him on Twitter to see if I can garner some more information from him and possibly even interview him on the show. I haven't heard back from him yet. So just want people to know that I did interact with him.
Yeah.
Or, excuse me, I did reach out to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because I'd love to hear. You know, I mean, obviously we read his blog post, but I'd love to hear from him because I think he'd definitely be able to give a little bit more nuance, you know, to kind of talk about this, because I think this is something that is really important to talk about. And I think a lot of people contemplate this. Not a lot of people do it.
Yeah, I mean, look, but on the real though, like, he's not the first person to leave medical school.
Of course.
For these reasons.
Right.
Right. He probably is, you know, one of the few medical students who left medical school and willing to pull it out
mm-hmm.
there that this is the reason that I left.
Right.
So I'm actually interested. I want to know, like, dog, what you gonna do with all this debt, right? Like, I have so many different questions that I want to mm-hmm. ask him. Like, so now that you have all this debt, because one of the things that he said he was gonna do is, he said, I plan on focusing my time on the Black Mental Health Alliance of Nashville and Actionable Steps LLC. Mm-hmm. These organizations work to promote holistic healing, mental health, and public health initiatives in Black and marginalized communities, and provide business support for those who are working to create their own business, mm-hmm. to divest from extractive economies, respectively. I get all that, and I think that that's great. You know me. You know how I look at all of this stuff. Like, you're either going to play the game or you're not going to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, whichever game that you decide to play, there's going to be a cost
mm-hmm.
to it.
If
you decide not to play the game, then, yeah, like, there's only so much change that you can have. Mm-hmm. If you play the game, yeah, you might be able to have some change, but you're going to get a lot of criticism. Mm-hmm. You there's the standpoint or the possibility of losing a significant amount of income, mm-hmm. right? Losing maybe even a support group, a social group, mm-hmm. losing mentors, mentees, and so forth. Like, this is dangerous, right? Like, the system is so big, can one person actually topple it and take it down? So I think as a result, a lot of people such as this student doctor probably just say, you know what? That's it. I'm taking my bags and I'm going home. Right. So, but I'm still interested in your thoughts. So I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, no, I had a student that we met in 2012, helped her get into medical school by 2014. She got into medical school and about 2.5 years later, she actually quit.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it's funny because we had been communicating.
Dr. Renee was steaming.
I was not steaming. I was not pissed.
She was pissed off.
Now you're talking to Jamar.
I'm talking to Jamar because Jamar is the only one listening to the show.
Okay, well. Okay. Well, Jamar, see what had happened was. But she ended up quitting. And I actually wasn't upset at the fact that she quit. What I was upset about was the fact that she quit and she didn't really, like, have discussions as to what that was going to look like for her in her future, right? Because I felt like, you know, and when I say upset, I don't mean like mad at her. I wasn't mad at her, like upset for her, you know, that, yeah, now she had basically so much debt. She was what, 2.5 years in? She had so much debt. And essentially, when you have that much debt and you go out into the world and you don't have a degree, you need a plan. Like, you absolutely need a plan. She ended up staying out for about 3 years, and we reconnected kind of haphazardly, actually.
What did she do for 3 years?
She worked in different, you know, just kind of different jobs.
Was she making payments to her
loans? Actually, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Because I guess that's...
I don't know the answer to that.
Obviously.
Because, that payment is a lot.
Money isn't everything, but...
It can impact
you. It's a big deal when you are out of grace period and you get that coupon book and it's like, yeah, my job can't pay this. So
yeah, this is not sustainable, but...
I'm not saying that should be the only determining factor if you make a decision like this, but I'm going to tell you right now, like...
You need a plan.
It scares some people when they are thinking, okay, like, medicine is not for me anymore, but also, is it too far to... Did I go too far to go back?
Right.
Right? The fallacy of sunken costs.
Exactly. Exactly.
My man is telling you already that he wasn't going to be happy going through this path, right?
Correct.
So there's something that he says here. It says, the MD isn't the prize. He should have put MD/DO. Hey, let me talk to you. If he comes on the show, I'm going to tell him that.
Well, for him, it was the MD. This is his blog.
The MD isn't the prize. Liberation and improving the material conditions of our people is the prize. We are the prize. The MD is just a tool. I actually wholeheartedly agree with that.
I agree with that as well. I will tell you, let me just quickly finish about my student. We reconnected. She actually ended up wanting to go back to medicine. She went back into medicine, graduated successfully, and now she is a first-year resident in a family medicine residency. I agree with this. The MD isn't the prize. It is a tool.
/DO
isn't the prize. It is the tool. It is the thing that you are going to use to potentially change the system. Here's the other thing that I will say. I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate with this blog post. And that is that just because you have an MD or DO doesn't mean that you have to practice. Okay. Mm-hmm. We know plenty of people who actually go, they finish the MD and they don't necessarily practice. And when I say practice, I mean practice within the system that exists. You can create your own niche of practice. You can go out and do some of the things that you want to do outside of the medical system, the traditional medical system, that one is still lucrative, right? So let's just get money off the table. One is still lucrative. And two, to have the community impacts that you want to have. That is very possible. So I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate here to say that just because you're looking at the U.S. healthcare system and you see that it devalues people, It potentially brings harm to people. It doesn't necessarily mean that you will not have, that you cannot use the system, in this case, the educational portion of the system, to be able to compete with that same system. So that's the only thing that I will say, that if I had talked with him, I would ask him to think about that. So you complete this MD, you could complete a residency program if you want to or not, but what else could you possibly do with the innovation in your mind to be able to use that credential, the tool, to be able to change things, to be able to, you know, level the playing field some places.
And I think in some respects, that's what we're doing, mm-hmm. right? Like a lot of people say, well, how long are you going to keep this locums thing up? How long are you right. going to, you know, be podcasting? How long, like, you don't understand, like, that is us saying that this whole healthcare complex mm-hmm. or whatever you want to look at it, like, that's us saying, yeah, we're done. Right. We're done with that. We're not participating in this anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be academic. And it's not that we don't want to be academic because we don't want to put out papers. I don't want to put out papers. But you can be academic.
Like,
I don't like papers. You can be academic and still work with residents and so forth.
Absolutely.
But the way in which, I think the traditional way in working in medicine, for me, I could see from the get-go, I was like, yeah, that's not going to work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm very independent in my thoughts. There are certain things in medicine that I really don't like, and I don't like it to the point where it's like, yeah, this is not going to work for me. And the whole hierarchy system didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
The way in which, you know, to many respects, whichever hospital you go and work at, whether you're at an academic institution mm-hmm. or maybe something that you call a community system, one thing over another thing might be prioritized. If you're at an academic system, then putting out papers yep. and, you know, it is just doing things that are really academically, just things that are not really patient focused, in my opinion,
right.
are prioritized. Whereas if you're at a community-based hospital, you know, a lot of that could be financial,
mm-hmm.
you know, priorities and so yep. forth. So, you know, for me, it's just like, well, locums allows me to literally focus on the patient,
yep.
deplug
yep.
from both systems. I don't have to participate in any of the
exactly.
systems. And I just kind of, I feel like I'm above the fray, so to
yep.
speak. Now, nothing is perfect, but there are risks to this.
Yep.
But there's also benefits for this. And that's why I say, like, whenever you play the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like football players. Right. People, you know, have a big problem with the way in which football is, you know, the way how football is. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a player, if you, you know, decide to participate in the system, there's certain things that you're just going to have to accept.
Right. right.
There's certain things such as having a, you know, non-guaranteed contract. You're mm-hmm. just going to have to accept. There's certain things about being cut that you're just going to have to accept.
Right.
Right. If you don't want to participate in that, then you may have to just go to another league or just accept, you know, doing something different.
You're not going to be a part of it.
Doing
exactly.
something different.
Right.
So, you know, you can either do it from the outside, but just know that from the outside, you're not going to get the fame. You're not going to get the money, mm-hmm. But you get to keep maybe.
Well, I won't say that you won't get the fame or the money. You won't get the fame that is associated with that thing. You will
correct.
Not get the money that is associated.
It's going to look differently.
It's going to look different. And that, for me, I think, you know, it's important to understand that, yes, there are systems that exist. And those systems may already be, you know, those systems are already in place. They already have their stream of revenue. They already have, you know, their reputation. That being said, that doesn't mean that you can't create your own thing to have its own lane, its own revenue stream, its own reputation. And maybe that competes with that system that you're not too keen on.
So if student Dr. Esaias came up to you and said, hey, Dr. Darko, I'm considering, you know, this. What are your thoughts? You would challenge him to keep
going?
Oh,
yeah, absolutely. But you know me. I'm a big devil's advocate. Like, what if, what if, what if? Like, you have to think of all the worst case scenarios, and then let's talk about the best case scenarios, and then let's figure out, well, you know.
How about this? What if it's been consistent? Like, he's over a span of, like, a year or two, he's been saying, hey, mm-hmm. I feel like medicine is A. I feel like my experience in med school is B. I feel like being a part of the hospital complex, quote mm-hmm. unquote, is C.
Well, so let us be clear. I would not be the one to tell him what decision to make. That's not
yeah.
that's not my decision to make. My only role, if he were to ask me, is you should consider this, you should consider that. Now, if this is greater than that, you have your
have
decision. Right. You have your decision. It's not my story to tell, and it's not my decision to make. it is in that role, it is not for me to convince it. Oh, well, you, but you should stay in medicine because whatever, because I went through medicine, you should stay in medicine. Hell no, you shouldn't stay in medicine because, well, I just think it's a good idea because I did it. You should decide what is best for you, you know, and that's what I would just challenge him with different things, you know.
But, you know, it's you know, one thing that is hard. And I think what he did is very difficult mm-hmm. to do. So I got to give him props for that also.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when you don't see many examples of people who are outside of the system and they're thriving, it makes it really hard to say, hey, you know, let me get this MD or DO and then let me go through residency possibly. Mm-hmm. And then let me try to affect change mm-hmm. from kind of in the inside, but kind of on the periphery. Because that's where we are. We're in the system, but we're on the periphery. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to change it by, you know, giving people financial advice and financial literacy and kind of letting them know that, listen, like, you know.
Right. Where we are, I think for you and me, what we're trying to do is we're trying to educate people in ways that, you know, the medical complex is not, right? The education system, the training system, just the healthcare system in general is not. Like, that is a deficit. And when you see a gap somewhere, you can fill that gap. Now, you can fill the gap from the inside, or you could fill the gap from the outside. So, we're trying to do it from the outside. Hold on. And I'm going to say really quickly, if you want to fill it from the inside, so even though I play devil's advocate, I also will play devil's advocate within a devil's advocate. So, yes.
With devil's advocate squared?
That's right, advocate squared. So you could stay within, you know, this medical system and say, okay, well, we're just going to change it from the inside. But you also know how I feel about changing things from the inside. When you change things from the inside, you have to do what the inside tells you to do.
Yeah.
You cannot use the inside as your own platform, right? That's like, who got fired from the TV network the other day, right? And you remember, what's her name? Tiffany Cross.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Got fired, right, from MSNBC, right, the other day. Now, I've hardly ever watched Tiffany Cross except for, you know, little tidbits of things or whatever. But, you know, I knew it was coming. I just knew it was coming. Just
well, get to your point. What were you
based
saying?
Based on the things that she was saying and things like that. Part of the reason I felt like it was coming was because she has a message, right? She has a message. I actually like her message, but she has a message. But our message, right? Our own personal messages don't always align with the platform, with someone else's platform. And when you are hired to be on someone else's platform, if you give a message one day that person is like, nah, you can't do that here,
yeah, so
then you're going to get done.
So, for all the academicians or
academicians.
For all the academics who are listening, basically what we're saying is, you know, just because you're at an academic institution and there's something socially that you may want to do or medically mm-hmm. you may want to do for the community, your institution may not want to do that.
Exactly. We and just said there was just another doc.
Your institution
that
may not want to do that, and you have to be okay with that.
Right.
And, you know, but if you create your own thing, it's yours. You have the runway to do whatever you want to do with it. Now, you may not have the fundings and like you would if you're within the system.
Right.
But that's the give and take.
But that's
of
the
working,
give and take.
Right. And what I find a lot of times is, you know, I've seen some of the responses publicly. I think the majority of the responses publicly have been supportive of this young gentleman. Mm-hmm. But I've also seen some of the responses from people in academia who are just like, oh, you know, they're kind of disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, well, how much change are you making at your institution?
Listen, right? I'm not disappointed for this young man at all.
But let me finish my point. It's like, I think a lot of people go into medicine wanting to change the system and then they end up buckling or settling, whichever way you want to say it. But, you know, like, I understand that you're doing studies and all these different things,
mm-hmm.
but oftentimes too, it's like, okay, we got to do studies, but we also got to see results.
Right.
Right. And I feel like sometimes you get caught in this holding pattern.
Right.
You're studying.
What
this
did a number show?
You're
what did
studying
a number
this
show?
Over and over and over again, but is it really changing anything? And that part for me is the frustrating part. So, you know,
yeah, what are the numbers showing? And mm-hmm. understanding that just because the numbers show X, Y, and Z doesn't necessarily mean that anything is changing from that, right? I do like papers, but I also realize that, you know, there's a lot of research out there that doesn't change anything, especially social but, research.
Well, the research is necessary, especially. Right? Because that's how everybody says, well, do you have the data for this? But also at the same time, what's frustrating is that there is no action on certain things.
Right.
You know, so we're going to talk in another episode about a health affairs article that talks about what we talked about, the financial implications of, you know, high student loan debt and what it does to different socioeconomic groups. We'll talk about that in another episode. But, you know, this, you know, if I got a chance to talk to this guy, I would, you know, I would definitely give the same type of advice. This is, you know, presented as a choice. But I think this is a symptom, y'all. This is a symptom of the issue that's going on. Like Dr. Jude, who is overseas, he did a video, 14-minute YouTube video, talking about the same thing. But he took it from the standpoint of why so many nurses, why so many medical professionals, particularly doctors, are leaving medicine. And I, you know, when you mention that there's a gap to fill, that is a great opportunity.
Right.
You know, a lot of times people will say, well, why is it that there's so many doctors going on social media to talk about X, Y, and Z, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the football player Hamlin, who, like, shout out to him. Like, he is, has been discharged from the hospital.
Thankfully.
Looks like he had blunt cardiac injury, stunned his heart, went into cardiac arrest, but he's home now. He's doing okay.
Yeah.
That's really great. But there are a lot of people who are criticizing the doctors who are going on social media to kind of explain what is going on. Obviously, there is a gap out there. So social media, the general public, they don't understand how this stuff works. So these doctors are going out there. Yes, they're influencers and so forth, but they're going out there and they're explaining things in
to
a way and fashion in which the public wants. Stop hating. This is it. You know, this is the way how they decide that they want to change medicine.
Right.
And I think that the, you know, the complex has an opportunity or has the ability to, I want to say, like, depersonalize you.
Yeah.
And social media at this moment right now is, I think, the fastest, the easiest way. Some may even say the best way.
Yep, most
and
effective.
At this point right now, effective and most lucrative way to basically gain your autonomy back, gain your personal who you are back, and really kind of, you know, maintain your standing in public.
Right.
As someone who spent a significant amount of time mastering the human body. And let me explain that. So that's when you mentioned that gap. That's when I was like, that's something that, you know, it's very interesting. Dr. Jude talked about it. Shout out to Dr. Jude. He ended up being a YouTube fellow also.
Okay.
So YouTube is kind of helping him increase and improve his videos and
so
forth.
Nice.
But we should do an episode as to why we think in the United States so many doctors and nurses are leaving.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a symptom of that.
Absolutely. I mean, so the nursing strike for New York City just ended today. So, again, like, just proof positive that, look, you can do as many studies and all these papers or whatever. It's like, listen, there are still problems to be solved. And, you know, unfortunately, that means that some people are going to actually leave the profession. You know, this doctor or this student doctor, former student doctor, Benias, I hope I'm not butchering his name. But he, you know, he left medicine, but he talked about COVID. Lots of doctors left, you know, after COVID. I actually have a friend who personally decided that she was done with medicine after COVID, after the things that she saw in the ER. So she's not, you know, she's not practicing anymore. So I think it's just really important to understand that people have their reasons. I don't think that's, I don't think it's for anybody to criticize what somebody's reasons are. I think as physicians ourselves, as mentors, we can certainly help people to kind of navigate their decisions so that, one, they are prepared for what is to come, and two, to make sure that, listen, you've considered all of your options. But it is not for us to criticize, and I don't think that anybody who's out there...
Well, we can criticize. It's just that, well, are we going to... Does someone need to pay attention? Everybody has a right to either criticize or support.
That's fine. Okay, But I'm going to say that I don't think it's for us to criticize, because at the end of the day, it don't matter. He made his decision.
I mean, I agree with you,
you know,
there. 100%
it doesn't matter. He made his decision. And what we think has nothing to do with what this young man is going to do. So, you know, what we think is really none of his business.
Jamar, what you think, man?
But we want to know what Jamar thinks.
Jamar, write us back and let us know what you think, you know?
Jamar, what?
And to everybody else who's listening right now, we appreciate you.
Absolutely.
If you're watching us on YouTube, we appreciate y'all. Listen, text us at 833- 833-230-2860. Alfred, please put that on the bottom. Once again, it's 833-230-2860. We're really interested to find out what you think about this situation. Do we make good points? Are we missing something? And also text us what you would say. If, you know, student Dr. Esaias came to you, what kind of advice would you give him? Or what kind of advice would you want us to give you? So yeah. Why don't we leave it there? I think we beat this this horse dead, or dead horse.
And I finally, we beat this horse to death. But anyway, the last thing that I will say is that if you are a medical student right now and you are contemplating, you know, leaving medicine, you know, just know that you are not alone. And I agree with him. If you are for any reason contemplating, you know, harming yourself in any way, shape or form because this is such a weight on your shoulders, get help and get out, because it is not worth it. And for this episode, Carla, please, can you just put the link and the number to the National Suicide Hotline?
Yeah, just hit 988, guys.
Okay,
just,
you can hit 988
just
now.
Just dial 988 on your phone, or even text 988, and you'll be able to chat with someone, and they will direct you to a professional who is close to where your area code is.
There you
go.
Can you put that and in the show notes, Carla?
And it could be completely... it'll be completely anonymous, and this is something that you guys should use if you need it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's it for this episode, guys. Once again, make sure you text us. Alfred, put the number there, as well as put the number to the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, which is 988. And shout out to you, student Dr. Esaias. This was dope. And, you know, like I said, we want to hear what you guys have to say. This is the first episode of Docs Outside the Box. We got a lot of great things planned for this year. Yes. We will catch you guys on the next episode.
Hey.
Peace. Hey guys, thanks again for listening as well as supporting Docs Outside the Box. Listen, this show is produced by Darko Media Group, and the dope audio experience is edited by the one, the only, Christian Parry, also known as your podcast pal. Links to him in the show notes. Listen, this is Dr. Nee, the Doc Outside the Box. I'll catch you on the next one. Peace.